5. Welcome to the show. In plain sight, Jeremy from Kentucky coming at you on a new setup with a headset and a laptop. Mike's going to have to let me know, give me a text or something, Mike, if it starts cutting out, but I think it's doing well so far. RepublicBroadcasting.org, go there and smash that donate button, send much-needed fundage. For $115, if I understand right, you can get a mug and a t-shirt. $230 gets one for you and the missus. Can you imagine sitting around on Sunday morning drinking coffee, listening to RBN, matching t-shirts and mugs, knowing that you purchased free speech? That's what you're buying. You're purchasing free speech for the future of your children or grandchildren, and for RBN to keep putting out these great shows. Have a chat site set up in plain sight. .chitango.com. That's site spelled S-I-T-E. And this tonight is going to be a tribute to William from Montana. As all of you know, William passed away on April 15th, and I was just made aware of it yesterday, as a lot of you were as well. And I've got the Cape Crusaders should be coming on soon. Patrick, do we have you?
Yes, you do.
Most excellent. And we're going to do this tribute to William, and I've got a three really good clips that I want to play of William, and then I do hope to take calls. I would say the last 30 minutes of the show will be taking calls, and I would just say call in and give us your memory of William. Do a little tribute. We're going to put aside politics tonight. Don't call in and give a conjugation of why you think. This, that, or the other. Just give a little tribute to William, and we'll try to make room for all the callers. And then in the last section, the very last 4 minutes of the show, at the end, I want to read some scripture. Anyway, Patrick, I can't believe that he's gone. He was such a contributor. I remember the first time that I heard William, he actually called in a Stormfront, and you and he carried on a conversation. And it was very impressive, the knowledge that William had. You had him on your show very soon after that. Do you remember those days?
Yeah, I mean, I have a big interest in Russia. And not a lot of people in America know a lot about Russia. And so I was excited to have somebody who had taken it upon himself to teach himself the Russian language, which is a pretty big deal. And keep up with Russian politics, and I'm not able to keep up with it. So he was my go-to guy when things were going on in Russia. I remember one show. I think it was when Dmitry Medvedev, who had been the interim president when Putin was term limited, but he was. He was premier or prime minister until January of last year, and all of a sudden he resigned, and I needed to know what was going on. And at the beginning of my show, I played the Batman music, and I put out the bat signal for William, and about a minute later he called up, and he was able to
remember
answer
that.
All my,
yeah,
he was able to answer all my questions.
And he could read Russian.
Did it. Yeah,
he could read Russian. He would read the Russian press.
Yeah,
which the advantage of that was, you know, you could get through all of the controlled media and actually get to the heart of the matter, right?
Yeah, and we don't hear what their people are saying, what their elite are talking about. We don't hear it even on RT, because RT is largely staffed with local hires. You know, people like Rick Sanchez, who's a good guy, but is he an expert on what's going on? Are you going to hear what the Russian elite, what the Russian leading talk show hosts are talking about, what tens of millions of Russian people are hearing? No, you're not going to hear that unless you know where to look. And of course, William, he could go to the Russian press and read it and then report to us on it, which was great for me because I think that's extremely important. We have to know what's going on in these other countries.
He had a keen sense of being able to evaluate the situation. And if you don't mind, I've got a 10-minute clip. Now, I know it's long, but this was on January 6th, and I sent this to Mike, the night of the Capitol protest. And William and I did a visceral react. And I want to play that in its entirety, if for nothing else, just to hear William's voice again, but also listen to how he analyzes the situation and sort of makes some calls. And then, you know, you and I can come back. We'll be close to the break when this clip is up, and we'll do a little commentary. If you would, Mike, go ahead and roll that one.
Yes, Jeremy, I am. And what a day. I'm reminded of a quote from General Patton. He said, "Wars are not won by fighting battles. Wars are won by choosing battles." And I think that one of the things that we have to do after such a bizarre day is to make sure that we maintain our calm and not jump to conclusions and not be drawn into a fight that we don't want to fight. The last part of the day, I watched it from the beginning. I was quite impressed with Trump's speech. I felt that one of the things that he did that was kind of shocking was that he told everybody, hey, this is not going to be about sound bites. You know, I'm not going to be like trying to come up with little quips that will get you all riled up. I'm going to be dishing out a lot of details about what actually happened. And, you know, one of the things that I was amazed at was the fact that he was saying, you know, we've got to basically make sure that everyone knows what has happened. And that part of the day was great. I mean, if you saw the numbers, which was hard to do because the mainstream, lamestream, lying media was always keeping their framing very tight. I mean, there was sometimes you thought, well, maybe there's like 90 people there. But every once in a while, you would see an image, and the sea of people was incredible. And if you also saw the people, and there were some people that I watched. One of the problems I was having watching this is I was watching it on two different sources, on two different computers, and there was major interference with the audio and with transmission. And so the powers that be, you know, who control this thing that we use all the time, we feel that it's this amazing tool that allows us to be places where we can't be, but these are all controlled by these tech companies, these media companies, and these social media companies, and they were doing everything in their power to disrupt this very orderly presentation that was happening. I thought it was an incredible expression of we the people actually coming out to ensure that this complete farce, this fraud of an election, does not stand. But then, you know, as you followed it and you watched after this march to the Capitol building, there was a lot of people I watched being interviewed. They were talking about where they were coming from, why they were there. There was even one person from a former Soviet country, Armenia maybe, and he said, "I came here because I can smell communism. I've lived under it. You know, I was a child, but my parents told me about it. I saw it firsthand, and I can see it happening here. Everything, all the signs are here." And so I had hopes that this was going to be an amazing success. And then I started hearing all of these things that happened at the Capitol, and it was so so out of sync with the way the day was going and the expression of what the day was all about that the first thing I kept saying to myself, this is an absolute plan psychop. And one of the things that you do in a psychop, when you sent me that picture of the bull standing, I believe that's actually that's the desk of the chairman of the House. And that image, one of the things that a psychop does is it tries to put bizarre images in your face that you cannot possibly, you know, understand. And that way it stops you, because one of the things about a psychop, if you actually go in and look at some of the stuff, you know, on psychops, you will find that one of the things that you want to do in a certain type of tactical psychop is you want to try to sow not only dissension among the people, you want to also sow questions about how wise the leaders were for getting you in a situation which has gone completely south. And the reason for that is you want to basically stall people from being able to make accurate decisions about what happened and what they should do next. Because in that confusion, in that discordant, you know, inability to make sense out of things, you gain a strategic advantage by just putting their mind and their ability to make decisions about what to do and where to go. You put that all in confusion, and that buys you time. And if you've planned this from the beginning, you can take advantage of that discoordination, misinformation, and a disheartened spirit. You know, and I think that is something that we really need to basically take a step back and not be drawn into this and say, well, it's on you now. You have to make sense out of what didn't happen and what did happen while we are doing an end run. You know, they are already calling, you know, Biden is already calling, you know, for that this, you know, we have to basically impeach Trump, get him out of the White House, arrest him, maybe for sedition, and any Republicans that back him need to be denounced and eliminated too. And there has been a rush of Republicans to denounce this violence. And one of the things that I was listening to NPR again, you know, you have to give me credit. I mean, I would do that for you all. I listened to NPR, and they were calling the shots on how Trump had gone completely crazy. His people came there to disrupt Congress, to keep for a peaceful transfer of power, and that this, you know, had to be suppressed, and we have to take arms. We have to make, you know, a big push to basically keep these people from ever doing this again, which will be, you know, the same thing, you know, with travel bans, roadblocks, searches, and, you know, this whole thing turned south at the end, and it was so well planned, it sort of made my head spin, you know, like, now what? But I just stepped back and I said, we've got to basically take, we have to take a setback so that we can evaluate this on our terms. We need to choose the battles that we engage ourselves in. We can't be forced into a battle that we didn't see coming. I mean, as you have said many times, I mean, we all had inclinations that, my God, is this going to be another Charlottesville? Is this going to be something that where we, you know, are outfoxed because we have the media against us, we have the tech companies against us, and we even have the local, you know, law enforcement against us. I mean, I saw one Trump supporter saying, hey, you know, yelling at the Capitol Police, you know, we had your back. You know, we had your back. You know, did they have your back? No. We had your back, but we don't have your back anymore because of how you are clamping down on us, and we're not doing any violence. But you're clamping down on us and trying to tell us that we are not allowed to be here. So, I mean, that's basically my take. I'm gonna take some time off tonight. I may even actually have some alcohol tonight. You're a good influence. I'm thinking of maybe having some sake tonight, which is pretty heavy for me. So anyway, that's sort of my take. Let's maintain clear-sighted understanding of what has happened and give us time to react with intelligence.
Sake and gin edition. We'll pick it up on the other side.
Yeah, so Patrick, I mean, very good insight. He called the travel ban, and he sort of called how the whole thing was used as a psyop. What are your thoughts? Got about a minute, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I wanted to have him on often. He came on over a year ago. He was the very first person who started really looking at, I mean, the very first person I talked to who started really looking at the coronavirus seriously, and I had him on, and he was talking about the various possible origins, the various possible ways it could be used. I should dig that clip up and maybe play that on a future show. He was a very hardcore, heavy-duty intellectual, and we're certainly going to miss him.
And I will never forget him calling in towards the end when he was getting sick and in pain. And as I did my, I turned the show into more of a religious focus on several nights a week. And he contributed greatly. We got a couple of those clips coming up too here after the next break. But again, a tribute to William from Montana. William, you will be very much missed, as will your analysis coming up on the break. And we'll be back on the other side.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
All right, and we are back. Welcome back to In Plain Sight, the dynamic duo Jeremy from Kentucky, Dr. Patrick Slattery, honoring William from Montana. And you know, Patrick, I remember William being on one of your shows. And William actually said that he met Saul Alinsky, and I thought, I'm like, wow, this guy was, you know, on the ground back in the day, mixing it up with the communists. And
what was it? Did he say he was at the University of Chicago?
Yeah.
Is that where he met him?
Yeah. And
back
and discuss,
in 1969.
And, you know, he was 75, I believe, when he went on to be with the Lord. And so William was able to see with his own eyes and actually participate in on both sides in the Cultural Revolution. And just like most people of that day, you know, he just did what he thought. He was protesting the war. And then once he got into it, he said that he figured out, you know, the treachery of communism. But
well, and, you know, I was going to say I was protesting the war, too. I was a kid, but I was protesting the war. And it was a war we shouldn't have been in, but I don't know.
Well,
it's like,
give me that thought, and then we get this clip, the 3-minute clip.
I don't have a thought. My thoughts aren't coming. They're not flowing. Let's hear it, William. His thoughts are flowing.
As William was in pain, and you know, as he had shared with me early on his sickness, way before it was announced on the radio. And then he made it public. It was his decision on the air. And so he called in a couple of nights. And I want to highlight this where William sang for us. He sang for us a couple of times, but this one really struck me. Mike, play the clip of William singing Blue on Black. We are open for phone calls. Open line Wednesday, whatever you want to talk about. 512-248-8252. Oh, we have our first caller of the night. William from Montana. William, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Jeremy. All evening. I have to say is just praise the Lord. I also am sort of inspired tonight to sing, if you will allow me.
Yes, please do.
Skin, yell me to the bone. You turned and ran. Oh, yeah. Oh, stripped right from my hands. Yes, blue on black, tears on a river, push on shove, don't mean much. Joker on jack, match on fire, cold on ice, it's a dead man's touch. Whisper on the screen, doesn't change a thing, don't bring you back. Black, blue on black. One more verse. Blind, but oh, I see. Truth lies an in between. Oh, wrong can't be undone. Hell no. Well, it's stripped from the heart of my tongue. Yeah, blue on black, tears on a river, push on shove, it don't mean much. Joker on jack, match on fire, hold on ice, it's a dead man's touch. Whisper on the scream, doesn't change a thing, don't bring you back. Black, blue on black. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Jeremy.
That was what's great about William calling in those last days, is like he just spoke his heart. And a lot of times when I would read scripture, you know, he would comment on it and talk about his relationship with Jesus Christ. And now he wasn't afraid to die, and he actually decided to decline treatment in the last days. He called me several times on the weekend, one night at 11 o'clock at night, and we talked for a while. Truly a great man with lots of soul. Patrick, you get a comment on that before we hit this break? A couple of seconds.
Well, it's really difficult. He called in when he knew he was dying, and he shared that with us. And you know, our shows, we're talking about the earthly. We're talking about what's going on in our earth, in our lives. And a lot of people, myself included, we don't really want to think about, the inevitable, because it is inevitable for everybody. And
let's pick it up on the other side. Tribute to William.
For a trusted long-term storable food company, we have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back to the show. A tribute to William from Montana. Jeremy and Patrick here. Patrick, you were just talking about how our shows focus a lot on the political, especially yours. And we don't always focus on the spiritual and what happens after this life. Did you have a few more thoughts? The break interrupted you, and then we'll go to some callers.
Yeah, we focus on what's going on in the world, what's going on in our lives. And whether you're spiritual or not, the end of every life is inevitable sooner or later. And to have had him share what he was going through at the end of his life with us, it really was a very generous gift to us. Cause he met the end with a great deal of dignity, and, I absorb that, and I certainly hope that when the time comes, I can have the same dignity.
Yes, very well said. Well, we do have callers, and I want to give our callers a chance to give their tribute. I'm having trouble pulling up the call screen, Mike, but I remember a caller from Chicago being first. Help me out here. Let's see. Ed in Chicago. Go ahead, Ed. You're on the air.
Hey.
Ed.
You guys got me? Hear me?
We got you, my friend.
Yeah, no, I wanted to real quick, got to be two, three years ago, before the COVID, William comes on. He was on the Road Warrior, Chris Hinckley, and he comes on and he says, the people that were revolting against the king in 1775, or you know, the American Revolution, he says they were the lunatic fringe, and I'll never forget it. It just stuck with me forever that these people that, you know, were. The way he put it was just so eloquent. They were the lunatic fringe, and everybody thought, are you crazy? You can't revolt against the king. You know, it just stuck with me. It is so eloquent, the way he put it. And this is way, you know, 3 years ago, maybe. I'll never forget it.
They would be the ones, Ed. The founding fathers and the revolutionaries in the American Revolution, they would have been called, you know, Nazis, supremacists, kooks, conspiracy theorists, that's how they would have been labeled today.
Correct.
But yet they saw a future. They saw the future of a great republic.
I'll never forget it. And yeah, this is way before he was, you know, diagnosed dying and all that. You know, he was, the way he put it was so eloquent. And that's all I wanted to contribute. It was, it stuck with me, and it's still in my head, you know.
Thanks a lot, Ed. Yeah, I appreciate that.
All right, William, fellas. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ed. William weaved his words. It was like a great tapestry. And he could say the most simple things and make the most simple points, but the way he said it, you know. We got Henry from Connecticut next. Henry, welcome to the show.
Hi. Great. Well, yeah, I got some good news. I'll make this one quick, though. I think Trump does have a new blog. So I think now he's on two or three different websites now. So that's good news. As some other good news, too, I don't know what came of it, was a federal judge wanted to put some kind of investigation or something into the cities that are violating the citizens' Second Amendment rights to carry a firearm. New York, I think Minneapolis, and a couple other places. Because, see, here's the problem we have with that, which is really a mess. That stuff is a mess, is that you've got some cities and some states that are fully honoring the Second Amendment, and then you got others that do not. Now, here's the question. Do we have states that, you know, honor the First Amendment partially, or, you know, and other states that honor it fully? And you kind of get my point. Do we have some states out there that, you know, may honor the Fifth Amendment when they get arrested, you know, or when they have to go testify, and other states, you know, do not? So, you know, does that make any sense? So why should we have that with the Second Amendment? You see, the thing with this business with the Second Amendment, like as if the Second Amendment is okay for that to be kind of infringed on, but if it's the Fifth Amendment or the Third or the First Amendment, or even the Third Amendment, but the Third Amendment deals with, you know, the military using your home, that's a different thing. You know, then it's a different story. That's the thing, too. You see, we need to have all of these states in uniform with regard to that. Now, with Georgia, for instance, although I wouldn't move there, but in Georgia, that you don't even need a permit to have a firearm. And this business about the registrations. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
That's how it is in Kentucky and Tennessee as well. Yeah, Kentucky and Tennessee have permitless carry. Concealed unconcealed.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, a point you made, too, about the age of consent being 16 for sex in Kentucky. I think weeks ago, you're right, because that's the same here in Connecticut. So why would, you know, you were saying, well, 16-year-olds are no better about this, that, and the other. You're right. You made a good point. Oh, so that's good about Kentucky and Tennessee. Well, the reason why they do that, and I think William Cooper covered that, too, is this. See, under legal, I'm not a lawyer, but I knew lawyers. Under legal jargon, okay, legal semantics and wording, you don't issue a permit for a right. See, permits are issued by either a local city, a state, or province. It could be in Europe, anywhere, municipality, for a privilege and a permission to do something, okay, or possess something or operate something. Now, when you have a right under legal definition, not just in America, that means it's your right. So therefore, if it's your right, then it's legally incorrect to require the citizen to have a permit. Because a permit is to permit something. You don't give permits to rights. Now, anyone out there that's a lawyer, they definitely went to law school. I didn't. they definitely going to agree with me with that, including that guy that was on. He sounds like he is a legal scholar or a constitutional scholar of some type. The gentleman that was on before Jeffrey Bennett that was filling in for John Stadtmiller today, he knows a lot of stuff. I forgot his name because he knows about that stuff. So the other thing is just, too, they put the stuff out there about the what about the criminals and knowing your gun from my gun from some Black Lives Matter criminal cocaine? He could be even over the border and shot somebody. I mean, you know the difference and whose gun using a crime and, you know, yours and mine. Well, here's what you do, and this would solve the whole thing. If you're going to have, you don't have permits, number one, and if you're going to have gun registration, you have it in the local county that they live in only. Now, here's the thing. If the federal government, that would include even the BATF, that would include the FBI, in order for them to get access to your to local county citizen gun registrations, they have to get a subpoena or get a warrant in court, or a subpoena if it's investigation of some kind of crime, presuming that there's probable cause in order to see the gun registration of any citizen. You should not have to have a federal, this is what I'm saying, gun registration. And that includes AK-47, that includes AR-15, that includes the M4, that's the newest thing that, you know, U.S. soldiers carry, you know, the M4. You know, you just get it without a grenade, you know, launcher in it. Any other weapons. Now, also, Wayne Cooper said this, too, but I'm not going by Wayne Cooper with this, what I mentioned there. That was my idea with the county registration thing. Wayne Cooper did say this years ago. There's 30 states, including Maine, that you can have a machine gun as long as you pay the special tax.
Yeah.
So we have. Go ahead. No. Go ahead. No, I don't want to talk over you. Go ahead.
Well, no, Henry, and you're making a lot of good points, and maybe call in on a night when we're doing some more political content. We're doing
go,
a trip
I'll,
to.
I'll, yeah. Right.
You're making
go.
Good
I'll
points, though. No, I don't want to diminish your points. Right. Your points are that the states, and I believe that each state should be allowed to exercise, you know, the rights of the citizens as they see fit. And quite honestly, just like Kentucky and Tennessee, you should be allowed to carry any weapon anywhere, anytime, because the good guys outnumber the bad guys. So if there's 500 good guys in Walmart with a gun and only 3 or 4 bad guys, and everyone's packing, you know, the bad guys are going to think twice about committing a violent gun crime.
Even if it's not everybody, yeah. It could be just it. But see, it's a double standard, because see, if you're a Jew and you're in Israel, you could walk in there with a Uzi in a supermarket because, we're oppressed, never again, you know, that we paid $6 billion for. All right, I'll let you go. I'll listen in. I want to take a look because we've got other calls, and I'll just listen. Great show. And, anybody can think about that. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Henry, and all good points you made. We're kind of just focusing on the William from Montana show tonight to honor him. Next, we've got Murr from Wisconsin. Murr, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jeremy and Patrick. And Chris, even though he's not here, Hinckley, William said on there one time that he plans sometimes for hours the night before when he's going to make a call into one of the shows, prepared, you know, for what he wanted to talk about. And I think the first I heard him, though, was on Captain Fred's show. That was a Sunday morning show from 2016 to May 19th, 2018. I was just looking, was the last one. And sometimes he would sail as first mate, and I'd get to interact with him sometimes. And we had both read the Dennis McKenna book, The Brotherhood of the Screaming Abyss, about he and his brother Terrence. And it was pretty interesting. But and I'm sure you should have some more calls now, but I just wanted to say too that I think William would appreciate a discussion about rights and gun rights, you know. But also, yeah. In 1775, the rallying cry was, no king but King Jesus. People forget that. That was the rallying cry.
You know, very Christian-based.
Jews weren't allowed in the government. That's why Hamilton had to lay low. You know.
Oh, God,
Patrick
Hamilton.
And I were talking about that the other day. So, you have more callers?
Yeah, we got one more. I appreciate it, Murr. Thanks for your tribute to William. Patrick, you got some comments on this?
Hamilton was Puerto Rican, didn't you see? Didn't you see the musical? Well, I don't know. For whatever reason, I'm thinking of Will Rogers, and Will Rogers is famous for having said, I never met a man I didn't like. And he said that he wanted that carved on his tombstone. And he said he thought that would be such a great epithet that he couldn't wait to die. He could hardly wait to die. So I don't know why I'm thinking of that, but let's go to the next caller.
Let's see. We just have a couple of minutes before the next call, or before the break, and then we'll do some calls. I just wanted to read this out of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 through 56. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And William is experiencing that victory right now as he has conquered death, as he belonged to Jesus Christ. We have one more caller. Pat, the break's going to catch you, but we'll hold you over. Pat, welcome to the show.
Okay, well, I didn't have too much to say. I just wanted to say that I've been reading about the blue stripe down the black and white flag that BLM uses, and all the Democrats, they wore black and white ties and stuff. Nobody wanted the red, white, blue. And so they started Trump. I don't know when they started this before, though. 2018, I think, or something. They started putting a blue line down the middle of the black and white American flag, and it came to mean respect for the police. So I guess they could have a new song now. That's all I know, because it's true, according to what our candidates here, that 450 police officers lost their lives in the line of duty last year. And when they're gone, you can't get them back, right or wrong, they're gone. And so, you know, if you want to fight the police, you could have a lot more people you're not going to get back, is all I would say.
Thanks for your call, Pat.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Always good to hear from you. Yeah, Patrick, you have a comment or two on that? Oh, we got a break. Let's do the break. Come back and we'll sum up this tribute to William Montana on the other side.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
He was born in the Bitterroot Valley in the early morning rain. Wild geese over the water, heading north and home again. Bringing a warm wind from the south, bringing the first taste of the spring. His mother took him to her breast, softly she did sing. Oh, Montana, give this child a home. Give him a love of a good family and a woman of his own. Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for a brother and the wild Montana skies.
All right, welcome back.
His mother died that summer.
Tribute to William from Montana, here on In Plain Sight. And I would like to thank Zyklon T for the technical support and the use of the laptop and headset. He is taking a break from many, many video games, from Modern Warfare and all of the such, to let me do this tonight. And paying tribute to William, a voice that will certainly be missed, a man of intellect, of many years of experience. And, he had a way of analyzing a situation in just the most common sense way and presenting that information to us so that we could digest it. Patrick, what do you got? You got something here in the last couple of minutes on the spot.
Well, this is kind of one of the deficiencies of the whole agnostic thing, is not knowing. I'm glad that William was Christian. I'm certainly glad of that. And he had faith, and faith is probably what makes us human. That's probably, it's not language, it's not fire, it's not walking on 2 feet or having thumbs. It's probably faith. That's probably what it is that really makes us human. And I'm glad he had it.
Yeah, I know William was not. He was not afraid to die. He was ready to go, and he lived a full life. The last several years of which, he imparted to us his wisdom on the radio and his political analysis. I'll never forget my first interview with William. It's hard to find now because it's on Farron Schultz archives on alternative media, I filled in for Farron one Saturday morning in the fall of 2018, and I had William on, and we talked about Alexander Dugin, and we did a whole hour on that, and William broke down Russian politics, you know, how Dugin played a role, and how the West was viewed by Russia, and it really revolutionized the way that I looked at politics and the way I looked at Russia, and geopolitical politics in particular. He had a way of doing that, making the very complicated seem simple, breaking it down to people so that they could understand it. And that's one of the many reasons why he'll be missed. But I want to thank all of you callers. Thanks for you listeners, all of you in the chat. We see your chats. Thanks, Patrick, for taking the time out. And hopefully you're walking them puppy dogs.
I am walking right now.
Very good.
Doing what I have to do.
And I'll be back tomorrow night with Health and Wellness on In Plain Sight. Rest in peace, William. God bless your family.
Oh, Montana, give this child a home. Give him a love of a good family and a woman of his own. Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for a brother and the wild Montana skies. Oh, Montana, give this child a home. Give him a love of a good family and a woman of his own. Give him a fire in his heart. Give him a light in his eyes. Give him the wild wind for a brother and the wild.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.